What are the marks of Christ? God's grace is sufficient daily, forever. Our Heavenly Father, we want to be noble like the people of Berea. We want to open the scriptures and search and examine them to verify what we're being taught. We want to be hungry to learn and eagerly receive your word. This is why we ask you to bless this time as we search your scriptures and learn more of you, so that we can bear the marks of Christ, so that we can carry the character of Jesus Christ himself. In Jesus' name. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Galatians 6, 17 to 18, message. Quite frankly, I don't want to be bothered anymore by these disputes. I have far more important things to do, the serious living of this faith. I bear in my body scars from my service to Jesus. May what our Master Jesus Christ gives freely be deeply and personally yours, my friends. Oh, yes. NKJV mentions the marks of the Lord Jesus. It says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, marks can be referring to the scars, as suggested by the Message and TPT translations, but it can also point to the character of Jesus. So as much as we identify with his death and his suffering, we also identify with his resurrection and the abundant life that he gives. Now, abundant life doesn't necessarily reflect financial or other success. It reflects the abundance of hope, of love, of peace, of joy, of all those beautiful things that God brings about in our lives when we live our lives committed to his ways, bearing him in mind in everything we do as he directs our paths. That's a little paraphrase of Proverbs 3 verse 6. So we are talking about identifying a person as a child of God. And this happened a long time ago, as recorded in Acts 4 verse 13, TPT. The council members were astonished as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men who had never had religious training. Then they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with him. And so these men who were unskilled in religious matters, remember the young boys all went to school, girls didn't go to school, but the boys went to school. But those that wanted to really pursue a career in the synagogues and in the temple, they would study further. And Saul of Tarsus was one of those who was very committed to his studies of the scriptures, and he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was a very well-known rabbi at the time, to learn the cultural and religious aspects of how they understood they should relate to God. Now, Jesus, when he came and lived on planet Earth, changed the whole way of relating to God. Because remember, the law that's under the Old Covenant, that was like an object lesson. That is just to let people know that they are sinners and they do need to be rescued by a Savior, by a Redeemer. And so when the New Covenant came into place, when Jesus had come in the fulfillment of time, at the right time, when he'd paid the ultimate sacrifice and dealt with the punishment for sin. Remember in the Garden of Eden, shortly after creation, God said to the only two humans on planet Earth, do not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will surely die. Now, when they ate it, they did not die physically straight away, but they did die spiritually immediately. And that's why they realized they were naked, and that's why they had to cover themselves with fig leaves, which probably very scratchy, but anyway. So that truth, that the wages of sin is death, comes right from the beginning of time. And of course the rest of the scripture does point to the fact that God's gift is eternal life. That's in Romans 6:23 TPT. For sin's meager wages is death, but God's lavish gift is life eternal, found in your union with our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. By Anointed One, they mean the Messiah, the Redeemer. And the Greek word for that is the Christ. So, bearing the marks of Jesus, as we've established, can be seen as carrying or bearing the characteristics, the character traits of Jesus. which is also the fruit of the Spirit, which we covered in Galatians 5. Another thing that identifies us is the love, as in John 13, verse 35, TPT. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. So when we identify with Jesus, we copy what he did. And there was that little bracelet some time ago, that little saying, what would Jesus do? And that is what we need to think of every time we want to respond to a situation. How would Jesus respond to the situation or in the situation? And that's why we don't react in anger. We don't react when people hurt us. We rather keep quiet at the time and think and pray about what is the correct response, what is an appropriate response that a child of God can do to show the love of God, to show the humility, to show the beauty that is inside each one of his children, that's inside you and me. Another way of identifying a believer comes in Romans 8, verse 14, TPT. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Other translations say those who are led by the Holy Spirit. And so we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to God, read his word, get to know him. This is what we are doing on a daily basis. We are getting to know the lover of our souls. And there's some practical advice for us in Ephesians 4, verse 29-32, TPT. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. But instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. And so when you behave in this way, as suggested in this scripture in Ephesians 4, then you are identifiable as a child of God. There's an old saying that goes, don't judge a book by its cover, meaning don't decide about somebody by what they look like on the outside. What you need to do is get to know what fruit are they producing in their lives. Firstly, you've got to produce the fruit of repentance, and then you need to produce the fruit of the Spirit as you grow, as you mature, as you get to know God more and more, as you spend more time loving him, getting to know him, in his presence, in his word, just becoming more like him every day in every way. And while we're doing this, we need to be wise. As in 1 John 4, verse 1-2, TPT. Delightfully loved friends, don't trust every spirit, but carefully examine what they say to determine if they are of God, because many false prophets have mingled into the world. Here's the test for those with the genuine Spirit of God. They will confess Jesus as the Christ who has come in the flesh. So yeah, be careful of those who say things against our loving Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And the Spirit, on a very personal basis, for you yourself, that you can know that you are a child of God. It's in 1 John 4, verse 13, TPT. And he has given us his Spirit within us, so that we can have the assurance that he lives in us and that we live in him. So remember, the things that bother us, like thorns in the flesh, or tough times, or circumstances, those things all have an expiry date. But the grace of God never expires. God's grace is our sufficiency on a daily basis. So may I encourage you to shine your lights.